Good morning, Little Saigon, Seattle. Good morning to the Central District, to the people of Ballard and Maple Leaf, and even to the people that live in Soho, Seattle. Good morning. Good morning to Denver and Brooklyn, New York. Good morning to Casper, Wyoming. Good morning to the people of Alaska. And the people that live under Alaska. It is December the 13th, 2020, right around 4:40 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Here in the wretched city of the communist overlords of pyramid scheme artists, banker whores, and other types of manipulative mungo freaks. Yesterday I went shopping. I went shopping at the QFC. I was able to buy some groceries. How I was able to afford those groceries is between me, myself, I, Jesus Christ, and the hooker off of Rainier. I'm kidding. About everything. No. Kidding about the hooker. Everything else I was serious about. Interestingly enough, there were some really good deals on perishable items. It was crazy. It was strange. I mean, I wouldn't say the QFC was packed. It was busy. A lot of the prices for what I would call non-perishables were relatively the same as the last time, but perishables, like things that go bad in a week or two, whatever, things like, fresh meat. Fresh milk, fresh eggs, yeah. With a coupon and a QFC card, you could get a dozen eggs at the QFC off of Rainier for 59 cents. And if you didn't have a coupon, it was still only like $1.59 for a dozen. That's the cheapest I've seen eggs in a while. And you say, Dan, why talk about the eggs? It's about the protein. We can all live off of glyphosate, cromulus and corn syrup for so long, but we do need some vitamins and minerals and protein. We need some healthy food. We can't all just live off of cockroaches and meat grown in a vat. So I thought this was a good deal, getting a dozen eggs for $1.59. Thank you. Fuck it, man. A dozen eggs for 59 cents, and basically, yeah, that's a good deal. Now, I don't know what that means. I did notice that the shelves, when it came to things that would be more perishable, were becoming more empty. And the thing about the perishables, unless you have a plan to pickle your eggs and brine your shrimp, you know, unless you have a plan to take your beef nuggets and dry them out and turn them into beef consommé blimbion 8, unless you have a plan to take all your food and stick it into some type of a freezer and freeze it to super cold temperatures, you know, then that food goes bad. And then what, buddy? What are you gonna eat then, huh? You gonna eat your French bulldog? No, no. You save him for last. You save beans for last. Save your beans for last. You save your French bulldog for the final meal of 2022 or 23. When you're staring at the skies so filled with vapor and gray and brown and black. When you're looking up at the terrible sky and saying, "Oh, what horrible thing did we do?" And then you look at your French bulldog. So go get your dozen eggs. Go get your dozen fucking eggs. Anywho, looks like there's some really good deals on perishable stuff at the QFC off of Rainier, you know. Doesn't help you if you live in Scranton, or Cosmacoma, or Missabama, or if you live in Texarkana. Doesn't help you if you live in Louisissippi. Doesn't help you if you live in Louisissippi, and if you don't know what Louisissippi is, it's a similar territory of the United States to Missabama. If you live in Louisissippi, I'm sorry. I mean, you should say, "I'm sorry, Dan, you live in Seattle." Next topic that is relevant, I took some video this summer. You can call this the stages of bullshit. I went ahead and went to Chazchopia to videotape the creation of Chazchopia by the city of Seattle. That's right, the city of Seattle. If you weren't aware, Black Lives Matter gets a lot of funding from Bank of America, which means they get a lot of funding money. That's cash for all of you who have lead poisoning. They get a lot of money from the Federal Reserve. That's what that means. Black Lives Matter equals Banker Lives Matter. If you are confused about everything else in 2020, please do not be fucking confused about this. And if you don't want to believe it, you can take a look at the video of the construction work where there used to be a homeless shelter. And conveniently enough, the homeless are disappearing. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on this beating a dead horse. I just find it interesting that the net effect of all this activism was to speed up the construction of a prison for children and to tear down a homeless shelter. That's the net effect. In my little part of America, the net effect of Antifa and Black Lives Matter and all the communist scum and the real estate whores and the Fed dollars going to commie New World Order CIA motherfuckers is that the prison for children is way ahead of schedule, and the homeless shelter's gone. Next fucking topic, because I don't want to spend any more time on Black Lives Matter, because it's really Banker Lives Matter. And the bankers can fuck themselves. Topic. And who knows how long this podcast will be. This is the Vitamin Soup song. Yeah, you know, vitamin soup, it's a warm little gloop, you stick it down your throat. Vitamin soup, you work in the caves, you work like a slave. You take the vitamin soup, you live 20 more years, maybe 2 more years, maybe 20 more months. That's right, with the vitamin soup, man. You get free vitamin soup if you work in the caves. If you work in the caves underground, you get the free vitamin soup. Free vitamin soup. Make sure you eat it. Take what you want, but eat what you get. Yeah, think about that too. Yes, if you work in the caves in the year 2026, you will get one bowl of vitamin soup per day, and they'll tell you there are minerals in it, and molecules, and chemicals, and all kinds of organic chemistry that will keep your organs from melting too quickly. Yes, in the year 2026, as you suckle upon your vitamin soup in the cave, you will have gone blind by that point. You will have gone blind, and they will have stuck what's called an optical nodule into your forehead. It's a tiny little eye. It gives you black and white. And you'll work like a dog all day in the caves, dredging away at the caves, finding whatever protein you can in the caves, really. There's all kinds of protein in the caves if you know where to look. So go ahead. Get your vitamin soup today. That's what I say to all my friends in the future world. Next topic. This could be a short one. Like I said, you never know. So there was an article on Zero Hedge about this fast approval of the Pfizer fucking Rona fucking monkey herpes vaccine. Well, that's great news because every news source tells me if we don't have one, we don't get to go back to normal. We have to have the new style, new technology, fantastical Pfizer BioNTech COVID vaccine for emergency use only. Take the tube and shove it into your eardrum. Take the tube and shove it through your skull. Take that fucking hypodermic and shove it in your toe. Well, anywho, I'll let you look at the link in the notes if you want to read that fucking article. If you voted for Trump on the idea that he was going to do all this shit, like put Hillary in jail and free Julian Assange and stop all the wars, you know, people say, well, he didn't start a new war. Folks, we've had a shitload of wars going. At the last fucking minute, it looks like he's bringing troops home. You really think that's to end wars, people? Do you? I think it's more connected to this fucking vaccine that we really must have, and you won't have a choice not to have. Yeah, because of the fucking pandemic that's killing everybody. Everyone's dying to the pandemic. If you go to Drudge or Zero Hedge or any of the alt news sites, they'll tell you, yes, yes, the Democrats suck, but the pandemic is real. That, my friends, is the Overton window. The Democrats are terrible, but the pandemic is real. The Democrats are terrible, but we all must shove a hypodermic needle through our eye. The Democrats suck, but let's go ahead and hang ourselves with Bill Gates' poison. Why don't we listen to what he has to say with new vaccines and reproductive health? We could reduce population by 10 or 15%. That's a quote from a TED Talk, year 2011, by Bill Gates. Thank you, Bill Gates. Thank you for giving us the stuff you've given us. And thank you, Trump, for fast-tracking this poison. Yeah, thank you so much for all this shit. Thank you for shutting down Christmas, you motherfuckers. Oh, we can't have Christmas this year because, well, you know it says in the Bible you cancel Christianity if there's a disease. No, it doesn't, actually. Actually, the examples of Christ when it comes to disease are pretty, you know, and keep in mind, this is a Little Saigon Report and not a church service. The examples of Jesus in the New Testament confronting disease are very, very obvious. I was going to say fucking obvious, but I didn't want to be too crude. Jesus is not afraid of disease. And you know what he tells his disciples? Don't be afraid. What does he do? He washes people's feet. Think about it. Ignore, oh, feet are smelly. You know what? Feet are smelly. Feet are dirty. Feet are covered in parasites sometimes. In the olden days, you never knew. You never knew. You could be washing somebody's feet and they could be the most disgusting person you ever met. You could be washing somebody's feet and it could be a king. Who knows? Jesus was not afraid of disease. And I cannot find a verse in the Bible yet that says, follow the commandments of God unless there's, you know, some disease. And then you have to turn towards Baal and the Philistine gods, the Canaanite gods, Dagon. Turn towards the Phoenician gods and the Ammonite gods and the Sumerian gods. Turn towards the Assyrian gods and the Persian gods because, holy smokes, somebody has the sniffles. We have to give up on God because we're sick. Think about it, folks. Really, really, really use your fucking head, please. Show me anywhere in the Bible where it says, thou shalt not obey God if you're sick. Better yet, as I drink my Sanka, show me anywhere in the fucking Bible where Jesus refuses to help somebody because they're sick. Actually, it's the opposite. It's probably why you kind of have to go after Christianity. There are plenty of religions, plenty of cultures, plenty of ways in which people have interacted throughout history where no touching, no touching is the way, is the law. And if you touch the wrong person, you might actually get your fucking hand cut off. So if you're asking, Dan, are there religions where the no touchy and social distancing is baked in? Yes, Christianity is not one of them. There are plenty of cultures where people don't get touched because of whatever caste they're in or class they're in. India has been a monkey fuck like that for thousands of years. No touchy. Lose your hand. Gross, gross, gross. Untouchable people. Japan is similar. They have a similar kind of culture to outsiders. If you're an outsider, you're untouchable. And there are other things that make you untouchable. It may not be as bad today, but it was part of their culture. But the Christ I follow, the Jesus I follow, he's not afraid of touching. He also believes, you know, in voluntary human connection. That's also critical. Because the other side of the spectrum is the Sodom and Gomorrah. Everybody owns everybody. It's a brave new world. That is also wrong. You have a right to your autonomy as a human being. You have a right to shake my hand or to flip me off. And you know, I would tell you Jesus would say the same. Now, would he prefer that we shake hands and not flip each other off? Probably. Probably, right? But it's your choice. It's your choice. It's your life. It is your body. Wow. Well, I wonder what communist propaganda I heard that from when I was at the UW 30 years ago, NARAL. My body, my choice. When I was a sophomore at the UW, I would see posters, my body, my choice, my body, my choice. I will quote this to the motherfuckers that come to my door to give me a test or a vaccine I do not want. My body, my fucking choice. Are we learning things yet? So I'm sorry if you voted for Trump thinking that Trump was the answer. I stick to what I said in 2016 with one of my Dr. Freckles posters. Trump was for the Republicans, what Obama was for the Democrats. The difference is the clock is running short, folks. Whatever comes next, it isn't going to be what was, you know, what you thought you got used to. It really isn't going to be. 2021 is going to be a worse monkey fuck than 2020. So sorry. Despite the propaganda, despite the lies, it's true. And if you voted for Trump, you got fucked. Just like people who voted for Obama in 2008 thinking he would legalize weed and end wars and do all kinds of things. You know, fucking Obama won the fucking Nobel Peace Prize, I think, either a week before or a week after his first inauguration, which means he hadn't done shit yet. And he got the Nobel Peace Prize. In 2009, you need to think about that shit, folks. 11 years ago, the Nobel Committee gave Obama the Nobel fucking Peace Prize. And in his 8 years in office, he monkey fucked the planet. He tipped over shit. He set shit on fire. He didn't find one thing he didn't want to blow up with a fucking drone. Are you fucking kidding me? Nobel Peace Prize? That is why I don't take that fucking award seriously. If someone said, well, damn, this guy just won the Nobel Prize in Physics, I will counter with, Obama won the fucking Nobel Peace Prize, you dumb fuck. Which is about as ironic as Teddy Roosevelt winning the fucking Nobel Peace Prize. When you consider that motherfucker and the true history of that piece of shit, especially when it comes to Native Americans, that Peace Prize looks like crap. Oh, but he helped broker the peace between the Russians and the Japanese. Fuck you. They didn't need TR to do that. But it did help the deep state, didn't it? With TR sinking his teeth in deeper, you know, he created progressivism. You know, it's funny. We talk about the Overton window with respect to the plague. But the Overton window goes back before the concept was coined. It's been a part of the history of politics and oppression for thousands of years before the concept was known. TR is looked upon by many Republicans as being a great president. That piece of shit institutionalized what people call progressive politics. That motherfucker institutionalized the empire. That motherfucker created the framework by which the federal government would grow and grow and grow like a giant communist satanic piece of shit cock. And it would fuck you and it would fuck everyone else eventually. Yeah. So TR, Teddy Roosevelt, yeah, he won the Nobel Peace Prize too for helping the Japanese and the Russians do something they could have never done on their own. You know, or with the British or the French help, you know, or the Germans. Or, you know, just about any other fucking country on Earth. Yeah. So I am sorry if you voted for Trump and you feel disappointed. Read Ecclesiastes. You know, there are many names for the book of Ecclesiastes. As I've said, you can call it the book of disappointments. Because life can be disappointing. You voted for some motherfucker and it turned out he was a motherfucker. I am so sorry. But Dan, Trump really tried. Did he really? I know the truth, folks. I've seen the pictures. He hangs out with the same people that call him names. Don't be stupid. It's just like the World Wrestling Federation. After the little WrestleMania thing is over at your local race rink, they go down to Pablo's Pub and they pound Bacardi 158 and fucking vodka tourniquet and diesel drinks until 2 a.m. while snorting cocaine off of each other's belly buttons. That's the World Wrestling Federation and Washington, D.C. Republican, Democrat. That's what they do, folks. But Trump wasn't really a Republican. Really? He wasn't? Then why did he run in that party? Well, he had to, just like Ron Paul had to. I've heard this shit for, I think, the last 15 years. Not just about Trump, but about Ron Paul and about all the other great, great heroes who are going to come along on a horse and save us. And it's all bullshit. I've heard it over and over again. It's crap. All I'm really certain of is that they lie to you, and they don't care that they lie to you. You can figure out the rest on your own. Next topic. Oh, great. Bethlehem will not be holding its church service at the famous church this year. the famous Christian church. It will not be open. The midnight mass at the St. Catherine Church next to the Church of the Nativity. The Church of the Nativity, closed to the public. But there'll be a mass that will be held over the internet. Isn't Satan happy? Now every fucking wretched part of this world is treating Christianity like a scheme. That's great. That's also in the Bible. I'll let you read that article. I don't want to spend too much time on that because it's just too depressing. The Church of the Nativity, the idea that the church, which symbolizes, it might not be, archaeologically speaking, exactly the place where Christ was born. But it symbolizes for Christians where Christ was born. So this action, however you want to interpret it, either in political, economic, or spiritual terms, whatever means, psychological, it's up to you. This action is an attack upon Christianity. I have a question for you. Do you think they're going to treat, you know, the various celebrations where people of the faith of Islam come together? You know, they come together and celebrate together in massive, massive groups. Do you think they're going to go in and shut that shit down? I don't think so. I don't think they're going to shut down anybody else's holidays at sacred sites. But they're definitely doing with Christians, you know. And that's interesting. That's interesting, yeah. Shia LaBeouf, here's your good news story for today. Let's read about Shia LaBeouf. This article was published on TMZ.com on the 11th of December. That's this year, 2020. Headline, Shia LaBeouf, I don't even know how to pronounce his fucking name, and yes, I saw the fucking, I don't know, what was it, the Transformer fucking bullshit? Saw that shit. That was a lot of special effects. That's the nicest thing I can say about any of the Transformer movies. If you're into nothing but sexual effects. Yeah, because what's her name? Fox was in it. She was cute. Anyways, if you're into nothing but special effects, you know, special FX, I think the Transformer movies were kind of okay. If you're interested in acting or plot or storyline or anything that would represent drama and theater as an art form, the Transformer films are like, yeah, pig vomit eaten by a French bulldog, pooped out, then eaten by a snake, then the French bulldog eats the snake and poops it back out again. That's what you get. So yes, headline, Shia LaBeouf sued for sexual battery by ex-girlfriend FKA Twigs. Shia LaBeouf has just been sued, and this article was written by, just to make sure I got that right, it was written by who? Who is the author here? Let's just see really quick at the bottom before I go too far. I do not see an author in here, so why don't I just say, this was just on TMZ. Let's just read the news article. Because I don't see an author here. Huh, that's funny. Whatever. Shia LaBeouf has just been sued by his ex-girlfriend, FKA Twigs, who claims he physically abused her, tormented her, and gave her an STD. Oops, I think it was crabs. Probably crabs. FKA Twigs outlines in her new lawsuit horrific allegations of abuse. She claims Shia once slammed her against a car and attempted to strangle her. She also claims that while they were driving, he pulled a pistol out and claimed he had killed stray dogs before because he wanted to know what it felt like to take a life so he could get in the mindset of a killer. Wow. She goes on to claim he was so wildly jealous, he would literally count the number of kisses she gave him in any given day, and would berate her if she fell short of the target. Wow. She says he was paranoid and would sleep with guns because he was afraid of gang members. He was afraid gang members were coming after him. As for the claim of sexual battery, she says he knowingly gave her an STD, which she believes he contracted in 2019, and says he confessed and said he had a flare-up, but covered it up with makeup. She also claims at least one other woman with whom Shia had a relationship contracted the disease. Oops. Spreading that crabs around, LaBeouf. FKA Twigs says she's not suing because she wants money. Rather, she says she filed the suit because she wants to warn other women. Shia LaBeouf hurts women. Wow, good job. She's suing for unspecified damages. Oh boy. Shia told the New York Times, and I quote, "Although many of these allegations are not true, I am not in the position to defend any of my actions. I owe these women the opportunity to air their statements publicly and accept accountability for those things I have done. As someone in recovery, I have to face almost daily reminders of things I did say and do when I was drinking. Fuck." End quote. Sorry, Shia, for your drinking problem. He continues, "It has always been easy for me to accept responsibility when my behavior reflects poorly on myself, but it's much harder to accept the knowledge that I may have caused great pain to others. I can't rewrite history. I can only accept it and work to be better in the future. I write this as a sober member of a 12-step program." Good job, Shia. "And in therapy for my many failings." Oh, good, you have a therapist. That's great. "Finally saying, I am not cured of my PTSD and alcoholism. Did he really mean his STD? Not PTSD? Anyways. "Finally saying, I'm not cured of my PTSD and alcoholism, but I am committed to doing what I need to do to recover, and I will forever be sorry to the people that I may have harmed along the way." Have you noticed that PTSD is being used as an excuse by every fucking person out there? And before I go too much further, I was in the military. I met actual people with combat PTSD. I was never in combat, so I never had combat PTSD. I have no doubt that there are many forms of PTSD that are exactly like that. My dad was a logger. He told me some really crazy fucking stories when I worked for him, including the famous story of the cutter, you know, the guy with the chainsaw cutting down trees, the cutter that cut off his arm, put it in his little cooler, drove to Cedar Woolley General Hospital, and had him sew it back on again. I don't believe that story ever happened, but I do believe my dad told it to make me feel better. You see, Dan, even if you cut off your fucking arm, son, I can take you to Cedar Woolley, and they'll just sew it back on. Yeah. There are people that have PTSD from abuse. That is real. And so I don't know his source. But at the same time, I think people use the addiction and the PTSD as excuses for the harm they cause. Probably every human being with a conscience and a sense of reality and a sense of right and wrong has endured some type of fucking PTSD in their life. And if you live in the United States since, you know, the year 2000, I think you've been traumatized by one motherfucker after another with all kinds of fear bullshit. And again, I'm not saying that's right or wrong. Well, I mean, I think it's wrong. I'm not saying your response to it is right or wrong. If you responded to it with a lot of distress, I understand that's what they designed it for. They designed 9/11 for many reasons, but one of the outcomes was to fuck you up. You know, people did stay up for days on end, watching CNN, watching Fox News, re-watching the buildings collapsing because they were in a state of fucking shock that was never healed. We were never healed. You want to talk Hamlet and PTSD? There are many things you can say about that great play by Shakespeare, by the bard Hamlet, But one of the things you can say about Hamlet is it's a story about PTSD. And one of the ways in which you come to grips with trauma is through honesty, through telling the fucking truth, for laying shit out. Hey guys, do you know who I am? I drink too much beer. This is the truth. This is me. My name is Dan, and I drink too much beer. If I drink a lot of beer and say something shitty to another person, was it me or the beer? And if it's really shitty, who has the trauma? Me or the person I accosted with my bullshit? Are you following? Are you still grasping what I'm saying here? A lot of us are torn up right now. And listen, 2020 has been a gigantic assault upon the collective unconscious. Has been a gigantic assault upon people's perspectives and their ability to maintain economically, but spiritually and psychologically. It has been one fucking insult upon the human psyche after another. If you leave 2020 without any PTSD, then you must have been on an island someplace, hidden away. Because whether you bought into the pandemic bullshit, or you're like me, and you find yourself in the remake of Invasion of the Body Snatchers, waiting for Donald Sutherland to come up and go, ah! And point at you. You know, that creepy-ass scream, pointing at you. Whether you believe the monkey herpes story or know it to be a lie, 2020 has been a trauma. And neither situation is better. If you know it to be a lie, it's fucked up and it fucks with you. If you know it to, if you believe it to be true, as it's been told, it fucks with you. It's designed to fuck with you. It's designed to fry your adrenal glands. So if you go out and get the crabs, right, you get the crabs. I went down to Ludi's bar and I met with Virginia. My name is Shia LaBeouf. Virginia is a 23-year-old girl from Omaha. I think she meant... I think she meant Moscow. Moscow, Idaho. Or maybe Moscow, Russia. But Virginia, the 23-year-old unknown from who the fuck knows where, she's at the bar at Luby's. Hey, baby, I'm Shia. Hey, Shia. My name's Virginia. You know, Virginia, I could be wickedly drunk on several drugs right now, and maybe even the state of partial withdrawals because of a failure in my liver. But it looks like you have spiders crawling up from your fucking... Yeah, you have spiders, you know, crawling on your legs underneath your skirt, baby. Oh, honey, don't worry about that. All you need to do is take a shower, baby. All you need to do is take a shower. So, poor, poor Shia, I'm sorry for your troubles, for your drinking and your PTSD. I would love to know more about your PTSD. Not to make fun of you. In fact, if I found out the truth and you told it to me honestly, like you picked up the phone like you used to, Shia, back when we hung out at Luby's drinking the hard Bacardi. Drinking the Bacardi 151 or the 158 or 208. Drinking the Bacardi Event 201. Yeah, that came out in October of 2019. Bacardi Event 201. You can use it, you know, as a hand sanitizer. And fuck you. That was your feel-good story. The story of Shia LaBeouf and, you know, motherfucker. So there's an article in which Bill Gates is interviewed or something about the future. I have a link to it. I only could read as much of it before I could vomit. But there's a link to it, you know, to the Daily Star, where Bill Gates makes a bleak prediction. Everything won't return to normal until 2022. Yeah, great. Thanks, Bill. Just like the articles in the roadshow he went on in 2018, him and his dyke, well, whatever she is, tranny wife. Or actually, I think she's not, she couldn't be a dyke because I don't think she's a woman. So I should say he or it. But whatever Melinda or Mel is, and I'm pretty certain that Mel's a guy and that they're some type of a couple that goes around basically having sex with kids. And please, Bill Gates, by all means, fucking sue me. Yeah, I wouldn't care. I would love to go to that court. If I could get within 20 feet of you, man, oh, I would be well on my way to heaven. Yeah. All I'd need is a butter knife, buddy. Maybe a really good pen. I guess it's really good they got the COVID, right, Billy Boy? Because that means people won't be too close to you in 2021. But I wouldn't be too careful there, Billy Boy. I think you have to consider the possibility that you've really pissed off a lot of people. And you really, this is the thing about being him and why this whole monkey herpes, everybody's got the space crabs bullshit is really necessary for people like him. People now know he's a giant piece of shit. They know he's connected to Epstein. It doesn't matter how many plane rides he took or how many times he met Epstein in an apartment or how many parties he went to with Epstein and Marvin Minsky talking about sex robots that look like little kids. Okay? We all know Bill Gates is a giant piece of shit. And if you add in all the vaccine deaths and maimings and murders based on his poisoning schemes, he's a giant super duper piece of shit. Eventually, he's gonna run into somebody. Even in the fucking COVID monkey herpes, everyone's got the space crabs world. Eventually, Billy, you're going to run into the wrong fucking person, and they'll look at you and they'll smile and they might even fucking shake your hand because they'll know it's bullshit just like you. But in the other hand, in the left hand, because they'll be training with it, will be a shiv. And they'll shove it through your fucking throat. They'll make sure it's a good cut. And even if you've got replicants waiting nearby in a biogenerative vat Pez dispenser of Bill Gates commubots, he'll set that fucker on fire. He'll set it with C4 and fusel oil. It'll go up in smoke, fucker. And your future, your family, because it's all evil shit, he'll set that on fire too. Yeah. By 2022, cygnet whales will hold court in Lake Michigan, dividing up territory between mutant pods X-ray and gamma. By 2022, yes, exactly, by 2022. By 2022, Trogon will be added to all protein replacement goo. Morgiak 56 will be made totally of extracted post-computer recycled blimbus and added to the protein goo as a seasoning. It'll be salty and tasty. Thank you. Yes, by 2022, by the year 2022, by the year 2022, Bill Gates will rule over the barren sectors of 009 Juliet and 1212 Mike. That's right. By 2022, Bill Gates will roll over the barren sectors 009 Juliet and 1212 Mike. His eyes will be replaced with burning uranium. His soul destroyed by Hawking radiation. His heart a chunk of petrified bear scat. Can you imagine it? Bill Gates, uranium eyes. Bear scat heart. And Hawking radiation will absorb him into the center of the dark hole of the worst butthole of the worst fucking Chevron station in hell. Fuck you, Bill. By 2022, winged creatures will rule the skylight realm. The nasty foreigners from the islands to the west will be set alight and tossed into the doomed sea west of Bellevue. Giant amoeba will flourish in the cesspool once known as Lake Washington. Millions of cats. Millions upon millions and millions of cats. And a few French bulldogs. Millions of cats will be eaten alive if they get too close to the shore. Those amoeba come up to the shore of Lake Washington by the year 2022, and they grab whatever living thing they can find. They have no great intelligence, just the unstoppable desire to dissolve your flesh. All of this happens by 2022. Just like Bill said, it all gets back to normal, maybe, by 2022. Yeah, I would suggest you read that article if you want to. It will be in the notes. And that is the Little Saigon Report for today, December the 13th, 2020. No, it's not 2022 yet, or 2023. All of those years sound spectacular and abstract at this point. In fact, 2025 might be the most abstract date in my head right now. More abstract than the year 25 or the year 5555. I hope you guys go out today and live your lives. I hope that if you're a Christian like me, you try to live a Christian life, which means, there are things I think in this life to be concerned about, but if you really believe in God, there's nothing to fear. And that's a tough one for me too, guys. Full disclosure, and I was talking to a friend yesterday about this, I probably do worry about shit I shouldn't. I probably do stress about things I shouldn't. I'm a human being. It's one of the crazy things we do. And 2020 has not been a good year for people like me. Under normal circumstances, this crudgy old hermit would live out his life, you know, making maybe $1,500 or $1,600 a month, paying his rent, eating his Crumbo cubes, doing his fucking podcast, and, you know, continuing with the creative writing. And maybe never to be successful at anything, but I was happy. A year ago, as fucked up as things were in my life, I was happy because I knew I could make it work. It wasn't perfect. I didn't really enjoy working contracts for Microsoft. I could only stomach working at that fucking place for 4 or 5, at most 6 months at a time. But it did afford me the ability to live my life the way I wanted to the rest of the fucking year. And I was perfectly okay doing that. Work a contract, be free. Work a contract, be free. I gave up on the bullshit retirement scheme a long time ago, technically 10 years ago. I think right around the time my mom died. It was one of those moments where I looked in the mirror and said, whatever retirement is, I've seen it, and it sucks. And it's a lie. And it's bullshit. And for some people, it may be fantastic, but for a lot of people, even the people that save to have a fantastic retirement after 70, these are the same people popping caffeine pills and drinking six fucking cups of coffee. Oh, but they work out really hard, Dan. Yeah. How much do you know about the connection between oxidation and how systems break down? And better yet, do you know the difference between people, you know, human beings that are more like predators, which means we're more inclined to do the fast twitch stuff, to be honest with you, than the slow twitch stuff? I mean, yeah, we can be long distance runners, but that's not what we're designed to be. It's really not. You know, the first guy that did the marathon, the little factoid, he died. Okay? You have to train your ass off to be a marathon runner. I've seen marathon runners after 70. I'd much rather be me. I would rather be me and not exercising enough than be somebody who burnt out all their fucking joints and ruined their body in the pursuit of what? And if they're happy running, let them do it. I don't give a fuck. But don't give me that speech about retirement. Because I've seen people work their brains, fry their brains while their bodies become crumbly. Their bodies become destroyed by diabetes and cancer and heart disease because they work their asses off as a computer programmer. They never really had time for anything else, but one day they'll retire. And when they retire, you see their knees wrapped up and you see them on 5 or 6 different kinds of fucking drugs. And it looks like their life is a mediated fucking hell. I know what retirement is, folks. Retirement is bullshit. You are born and then you die. This concept of retirement was created by motherfuckers to trick you. It's you know, it's a lot like a lot of utopian bullshit. And listen, the guy who really created retirement, if we're getting right down to brass tacks, okay? It isn't FDR. Otto von Bismarck, the Prussian, the German responsible for really the creation of Germany as we know it. There was no Germany before Otto von Bismarck. Guess what? There was no concept of social security before Otto von Bismarck. And the age he picked at which to give it out to people, his mathematicians figured out, you know, listen, Otto, you want this to be for people who are very old and have nothing, okay? Therefore, pick a good number. Pick the number where people will work and work and work, and then if they happen to live longer than, let's say, 60, then they get the magical fucking check. which back in the 1870s wasn't that many fucking people. Otto wouldn't be the first German to make stupid promises, Farfig Nugan, Hitler. Retirement's bullshit, folks. You can say you're on vacation, you're on hiatus, you're on a sabbatical. You can tell me you're taking time off. You can say you're rich and don't have to work. All that's fine. But this concept of retirement is unmitigated crap. You know, so I don't give a shit about it. I'm not really worried about it. A year ago, all I wanted to do was live my life and then die. And live my life as I wanted to. And then die, as all living things are supposed to. And instead I was greeted with one lie after another, and if I really dig deep, the monkey herpes COVID lie was not the first assault of recent time. In some ways, this continuous psychological assault really did start in 2016. In fact, Trump was probably a big part of it. Yeah, Trump was perfect for that job. Knowing what I know now about the fucking monkey herpes, Trump was the first trauma monkey. He was the giant trauma monkey for left-wingers. Oh my God, the orange baboon has control of the nuclear football. Overton window, folks. Dumbass, nobody should have a nuclear football. That should be the first fucking question you ask, dumbass. But no, Trump has control of the nuclear football. They don't ask the question, what fucking human being should ever have access to something like that? Answer, zero. Nobody. God doesn't need nukes, so I wouldn't say him, and he's not a person. But the point is, nobody. But nobody asks that question. They get upset because Trump has control, or Bush has control, or Obama has control. Overton window, folks, it shifts what we can consider an acceptable range of debate, okay? We can have whatever opinions we want to, but everyone knows the pandemic was real. Everyone knows that it was real. Everyone knows this. It's bullshit. Retirement is bullshit. And the trauma monkey shit, the most recent burst, although really, since 9/11, hasn't it felt like we get a trauma monkey every 5 fucking years? Thank you, CIA. Thank you, Central Intelligence Agency, for all the trauma monkeys. I mean, think about how much of a trauma monkey Obama was for fucking Republicans. And all the fucking shit they say, well, we're gonna have a tea party and we're gonna have an Oath Keepers. I remember this shit and it was all bullshit. All of it designed to confuse, mislead, anger, upset, create fear, to fry your adrenal glands, to screw up your health, to make you incapable of fighting back. So now all they have to do is, like what Shia LaBeouf did, all they gotta do is give you the space crabs. Oh boy, thank you, Virginia. I'm gonna go to Luby's again. Off of Hollywood Boulevard, you know, down by Boblimptics. Yes, Virginia's still there, sitting there at the bar. She's sitting there all sulky and slinky and sultry. She's covered in Klimpton and Glimbus and Rex. Her body is a mucus pile, Virginia. But if Shia's been drinking enough, yeah, he'll go there. And you guys have a great rest of your Sunday, okay?